Gabriel wide left, along with Benjamin. Crowell, the running back. First and 10. They're at the 17. Bootleg rollout to the right. Hoyer's got nowhere to go. He's in trouble. Up in the pocket. Now he fires down the middle. Benjamin caught it. Touchdown.
Well, he bought some time with his legs that time, Brian Hoyer.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
It was the sidestep seen around the world. Brian Hoyer showing some mobility in the pocket and delivering a strike to Travis Benjamin for their first of their two touchdowns, bringing the Browns at that point of the game within six, setting up the game winner to Benjamin later on here. Now that we're back on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, it's time to go to the Ohio Business Machines hotline and bring in three-time Super Bowl champion Jerod Cherry for three questions with Jerod. Man, what a game yesterday. How important of a win was that for the Browns?
Oh, my gosh. Huge on so many levels, Nathan. One, you have a situation where we talk about beating opponents that you're supposed to beat. And then when you're getting blown out, what would I have done to their confidence had they lost that game? You walk away from that experience saying, if you lose, can we really beat anyone? And are we really all that good? So making that comeback and playing a manner of fashion what they played in the second half, all that is big for this team. It was very important. And more importantly than that, guys, you saw it, man. You can totally relate to it as well. It's just afterwards and just the camaraderie that's built when you win in that manner of fashion, just enjoying each other's company. That goes far. For this season, just in general, how they'll build and grow as a team.
Jerod, I'm gonna dive right in, and we'll get back to the sweet stuff, the good stuff here in a minute. But I talked earlier about the referencing the defense, the disconnect, what seems like the disconnect between the defensive front and the defensive backs, between coverage and contain. What can you see in your expertise as a something to put your finger on that needs to be fixed moving forward?
It's really a true understanding of what everybody's responsibilities are. It's going to have to start there. The defensive backs are going to have to know what it means for a linebacker to do a deep curl drop and when they're doing that and what they should play off of that and how that fits the route combinations. Because you've seen that and you saw in that touchdown in particular when Joe Hayden in the back of the end zone where you get that basic smash route. And what that is you have the number two receiver run a corner route and the first receiver outside, part of the X of the Z, runs inside. Joe passes that off, but he has to know that he's saints on that. So just really an issue of communication because one of the things I didn't think would be an issue with secondary for a leader like Whitner back there and Gibson as well is the communication. So really just an understanding of what everyone does as far as their fits, not just in the secondary and the linebackers, but even from a gap integrity standpoint. So really we even have to start all over and go from basics. This is A gap. This is B gap. This is C gap. Here's what you do on A gap, B gap, C gap, and here's what you do when you're in a five technique. Here's what's expected when you're in a three technique.
Defense 101, right, Jerod?
Literally. And also, while we're at it, let's add some tackling drills in there.
Yeah, I'd like to see some tackling drills as well for this team. Got to clean some things up on defense, but offensively, it's a team that's vastly exceeded our expectations. The receivers, Ben Tate comes back and runs for 123 yards. Brian Hoyer playing phenomenally well. This offensive line, the play calling of Kyle Shanahan. I mean, at this point in the season, can you believe that this is an offense that's put up 21-plus points, four straight games for the first time in the first four to open the year since 1969 for the Cleveland Browns?
Considering what I saw in preseason, no, I did not think that.
Me neither.
It was a chance whatsoever, a snowball chance, and you know what, of it actually being this good. And I walk away from it and say, guys, this was supposed to be our defense. We're supposed to be talking about our defense in this light and definitely not our offense. So commend Brian Hoyer and the rest of those guys and that offensive line because it all starts there. They're finally playing up to what they're getting paid and their potential, and that's a good thing.
It's a great thing. This offensive line, I think, right now playing as well as any unit in the entire National Football League.
Yeah, I'm jumping back on the good, Jerod.
Overall
assessment of the question mark in our eyes of Ben Tate. Is he going to play? Is he not? Is he worthy of being the starter or is he not? I think he impressed all and assumed his role accordingly as the number one guy in this backfield.
Well, let me be the first person to issue my apologies to Ben Tate because I was like, you know what? Run the Crow, run West, they're balling. But Ben Tate showed you that, hey, he is still the man in that backfield. Coming off of, what, 2 or 3 weeks of not playing football to run effectively and to be that dominant in the process. And on top of that, he gives Brian Hoyer a sense of comfort in that he knows that Ben knows where he's supposed to be and where he's got to be and what he should be doing. And as opposed to rookies are obviously making still rookie mistakes. So, yes, Ben gets my props. He ran with conviction. He ran with effort, and he ran with attitude. and he got over 100 yards, and that is not something we see often around here.
No, 123 for Ben Tate, a career high in this game. He looked phenomenal. This ground game in general has just been great for the Browns. Fourth in the NFL right now, over 140 yards per game on the ground, something we haven't seen in a long, long while. I want to ask you about Kaywan Williams, the undrafted free agent who, no other way to say it, is ahead of the eighth overall pick at corner on this team's depth chart right now with some big plays. What do you see and like so much about his game, Gerard?
Well, one, he didn't quit because he had his issues early on as well, but he stuck to it and came up with a big play. Obviously, that sack was huge. And also, I don't want to take nothing away from him because, yeah, he's an undrafted free agent. He's out there playing. You know what that says? That says that these coaches, we're going to play the guy who should be playing right now. And that speaks volumes to players because one of the things you always think, well, if he's drafted in a certain spot, he's going to play no matter what. And obviously, Gilbert got his opportunities and chances, and he'll get more. Don't get me wrong. The ship has not sailed on him.
No.
But it is just impressive that they're giving a young guy a chance, an undrafted young guy a chance, based upon what he's done in practice and how he's earned it. And that also builds greater bonds between players and coaches as well to see that, hey, if I am really out there doing what's necessary during the course of the week, you'll give me an opportunity and a chance, I'm going to go out there and lay it on the line for you.
I stated that earlier. I think that Coach Pettine, he said it's a win-now mentality, and I really don't think that he or Jim O'Neill or anybody really cares where you've been drafted or where you've come from. What he wants you to do is he wants you to buy into a system and put your best foot forward and compete within his schemes offensively and defensively to win football games.
Yeah, and that's exactly what you do. Find guys who are going to, one, follow instructions, do what's necessary, do what's right, as well as just getting the idea that everyone has an integral part in this defense, and you can't be a lone guy out there. A lone wolf will not get you any type of success. And you know what? As we go back to not trying to be negative here, you done got me into it now, Matt. Get rid of this lone wolf mentality, because it might be more so that than anything, guys, or why guys are screwing up right now.
That's right. You got to work within the context of the scheme. Everybody do their job, know their responsibility, work as a unit. We've heard many times the defensive breakdowns, 10 guys are doing the right thing, one guy isn't, and that's the one guy that the offense finds because it is the National Football League, and they are good at that. Let me ask you this, Gerard, just to kind of change the topics a little bit. Last week was a crazy week, certainly for your former team, the New England Patriots. People felt compelled to bring signs that said, we believe in you still, Bill, and we trust in you still, Tom. Guys who have been unbelievable and had a remarkable run of consistency. Was there, in your mind, ever a surer thing in the history of the NFL than the New England Patriots laying a beat down on somebody last night?
I got to be honest with you. The doubters got to me because I was like, what the heck? Because this team losing in the manner of fashion in which they did it at KC, and I know historically that the Patriots have always struggled playing there. When I was there, we struggled playing against KC. Just that environment, for some reason, is very difficult. Yeah, but then as I think about it, Nathan, how foolish was I to really think that these guys, as much success as they had, were not going to rally? And it falls right into the mentality. They do better, and this is what Bill coaches do, when guys feel like you're looking down on me, chip on my shoulder, tell me I can't do it, I cannot succeed. And the national media and yours truly, who knows better, because I know the mentality in that locker room, totally fell into that trap. Because that's when Bill's at his best, when he has guys believing that it's us against the world.
And that's exactly what I've never seen Tom Brady look more angry on the sidelines in a game than he looked last night. He was fired up. He was dialed in. And it's interesting because I think Brian Hoyer has a lot of what you just hit on, that me against the world mentality, nobody believes in me. And he even said about getting down 28-3 yesterday, I was angry. I was angry about it and wanted to do something about it. He's proven to be a great competitor and a great leader and someone who can lead this team down now 5-2 as a starter, 3 wins in the final 2 minutes. How impressed overall just are you with Brian Hoyer and relative to your expectations for him personally? How has he performed?
Man, if I wasn't a former player, I'd throw a fan club. I am with this young man. I'm just happy to see a guy who's gone through the rigmarole of being in the NFL and had been told he didn't matter and let go, and he hasn't stopped. He hasn't quit fighting. And you appreciate that and you respect that. And even in the context of coming into this season, there were still those doubts and those issues about whether or not he can assume the position and be the leader of this offense. So, man, just story that's being told about overcoming, hard work, being a professional, doing things the right way and never giving up on your dream and not quitting when people are telling you that you aren't up to snuff in their opinion and still going out there and playing at a high level. So I hope Brian Hoyer keeps on making a lot of scouts, a lot of GMs, and a lot of prognosticators very foolish and discounting him and saying he doesn't matter and he's not a top-tier quarterback. But keep it going, Brian, because I am impressed and I'm proud of you, man.
He's having a great job. Gerard, always a pleasure to talk with you, especially on a Victory Monday, my man.
I heard that, guys. It's great to meet you. I got to get the studio one of these days and hang out with
you. Yeah, come back in here. Yeah, absolutely. Let's go.
All right, guys. Take care, man.
All right. The great Gerard Sherry. Catch him on the really big show here on ESPN 850 WKNR alongside Tony Rizzo Monday through Friday. All right, folks, it is Monday, and you can help decide who made this week's Allstate Good Hands Play of the Game. You could win an autographed pair of gloves from the winning player. Cast your vote right now at clevelandbrowns.com, and good luck. Travis Benjamin has two nominees out of the three for your choices there, so I think he's a good chance if you win, you can end up with some Travis Benjamin gloves, and I think he is showing that he's got what it takes to be a wide receiver in the NFL. We're going to work on the punt catching.
So what? He's not a punt returner.
I don't
make
care.
Make him a receiver. That's fine.
Three touchdowns. That's all I got to say. Three touchdowns, all of them at important moments as well in these games. Tennessee and Pittsburgh had a big play, of course, against Baltimore also. So Benjamin getting it done as a wide receiver. Matt, so many big plays in this game that you can turn to. Obviously, the flag wiping out the interception, the flag wiping out the muff punt. But how about Mike Pettine's first ever challenge, reversing what was a first down turning it into a fourth down situation, and then the stop on the sneak? I personally thought they were coming out to go, hut, 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 yeah, hut, 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 hut. All right, we're going to punt it. And then they ran the sneak, and I'm like, huh! And then we stopped them, and it was massive.
I think props to Coach Pettine for having the guts to do it. But also, too, I think it's more than just him. It's the staff collectively, because in some cases, you don't always get that hurry, you know, and throw the flag immediately, because you're waiting to hear from your staff upstairs, because there's TV monitors, you know, that you're able to look and review and make that decisive decision. So it's, first of all, great that he reviewed it, because we could blatantly see, you know, I said it immediately. I'm like, dude, there is no way. They spotted him almost a yard and a half ahead
All he had to do was transfer the ball as he was going out of bounds.
Exactly, but I think maybe he thought he ran his route to the yardage needed. But then secondly, I think for that defense and Coach Pettine to be ready for whatever, because I always got a little bit worried, because if you watch that play again, you see the defense, it was Ruben and Phil Taylor, like, grinding their cleats into the ground, like they're ready to just jump off the ball and make that big stop, which they did. But if they would have done the hard count, those guys were wired, ready to make that stop, that a hard count, it's just that little flinch was all he would have needed.
So take me into the mind right now, because in that situation, I'm sure you're going out there and you're saying, okay, if they do go, we've got to get there immediately. Watch the hard count. And how often in that situation do you think, okay, they're really not running it? How do you have to be? Because I feel like you can only be successful if you go right when they snap the ball, yet at some point in the back of your mind, you're like, there's no way they're running this ball.
Right.
And then I can't jump off sides.
Well, a couple things come into play. First of all, and maybe not Carlos Dansby, but I'm sure if you talk to those defensive linemen had to hear hold your water, which means don't jump off sides. Like, hold your water, hold your stance. That's what, hold your water. Or how many times they were warned to not jump off sides.
So that means it makes it tough to get off the ball when you need to.
Which makes it tough to get off the ball. But also, too, is my second point in this case is Coach Pettine and his staff made everyone aware of what the high tendency was for a Ken Wisenhunt-coached football team does in that situation. That's where you go back, the grad assistant or the low man on the totem pole in the coaching staff, that scouting guy that goes deep and gives you legit 6 to 8 plays of 4th-and-1, 3rd-and-1, their short yardage package, they were ready for that Ken Wisenhunt call. And you can see that. And I think also, too, Charlie Whitehurst helped us, you know, by standing straight up, you know, and then leaning on the back of a center who got pushed back a half of a yard.
Yep.
You know, and he thinks he's got all the time in the world to just roll around like a lame duck trying to reach over and get that first down and think it was valid. But kudos to Coach Pettine on the review and those guys up front to get that push backwards and stop that immediate surge. And then you saw Kruger literally come off the edge flat and just drag Whitehurst by his jersey backwards.
If you were Ken Wisenhunt, do you punt there?
I do. I do. Even because also, too, you think, even though we are huge Brian Hoyer fans, but it's punt the ball to a team a bunch full of no-names and make them go 80-plus yards to win the football game.
Well, they tried to – I wonder, and this is what I was saying after the game, psychologically, if the fact that he interviewed twice for the coaching job here and wasn't offered made him
shove
want
it.
To, like,
he was going to try and shove
I'm
it.
Shove
yeah.
it. Yeah. And the Browns got the
they
huge
shoved
stop.
It.
And then Brian Hoyer found Travis Benjamin for the game-winning touchdown, 29-28. The Browns completing the largest road comeback in the history. In the history of the NFL, that covers a lot of games, folks. It has been a great Victory Monday. The party will continue tomorrow. We'll really get into this game, talk about what it means, start to look ahead to the Pittsburgh Steelers. But thanks to everybody for being with us. Thanks to Kevin Jones and Jim Donovan for joining us on the roundtable presented by Blue Point Grill. Thanks to my man, Matt Wilhelm.
Yes, sir.
And, of course, stay tuned for the Golden Boys here. This has been Cleveland Browns Daily on a Victory Monday, and we were driven
by Liberty Ford.
The preceding program was a production of the Cleveland Browns and a part of the Browns Media Network.